Psalm 23 should be familiar to probably everyone, amen, if not most everyone present today. Psalm 23, amen, praise God, hallelujah, thankful again for everybody that's here today. I want to welcome you this morning. Thank you for coming. Luann and I love each and every one of you and appreciate you today, amen. We're going to get into the word today, amen, that the Lord has laid upon our hearts. Psalm 23, amen. If you don't have a Bible, praise God, it's it'll be up on the screen, amen. Everybody have it ready, say amen.
Amen.
That was pretty faint. Everybody have it and ready, say a good amen.
Amen.
That's better, amen. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. We're going to bless the shofar again, and we need you to give the Lord thanks for his word today. Come on, let's bless him. Amen. In the sanctuary for the word of God. What you see is not what you get. Amen. What you see is not what you get. Look at your neighbor and tell them that today. What you see is not what you get. Amen. Psalm 23, very familiar, and you know me. Anytime the Lord leads us, amen, into something like this that's familiar, amen, it's always, amen, I don't want to say question, but I hesitate because it is familiar. Because when something is familiar, we have a tendency to not listen or to ignore, amen, what's being said, because we feel there's nothing that we can glean from it. We feel that if it's so familiar and that we've heard it, that maybe we have a complete understanding of what it is, or there's just nothing else that we, amen. But I want us to look today as we go back into this familiar passage of Scripture. In Psalm 23, so many people, we hear it mostly at funerals, amen. You hear the psalm spoken, amen, and read because of verse 4, praise God, but much deeper than that. But when we look at David's writings in the Psalms, amen, we can see that it reveals to us what David went through in his life. If you look and really observe the writings of David here, amen, you can see what he went through, amen, in his life. But you can also just how David dealt with what he went through in life. How many knows that it matters how we deal with what we go through or what is presented to us, amen? We see the human side of David, and then we see the spiritual side of David, amen? David reveals his heart in his writings, amen? We can say that David is transparent to a fault. Now, those of you that know me, amen, and that have heard me preach or have read anything that I have written, amen, anything that I may share on social media, you know too that I'm pretty transparent, amen. Sometimes I have to pull myself back from being too transparent, amen. And you know, a lot of folks look at down on that, a lot of other pastors, and I have a lot of people in leadership that reach out to me privately, and they tell me how much they admonish the fact that I am transparent, that they wish they could be that transparent. And there's a reason why we can't be transparent, amen, with one another. We all go through the same thing. We all deal with the same stuff. We all have one common enemy. We're all supposed to have one common goal. Are you hearing me? And when we stand in the presence of all of that, who we are, amen, any title that we have or any calling on our life really holds no precedence, amen, to that. But it's how we respond and how we handle those things, amen. So David was transparent to a fault. We can see David's heart to please God, amen. And because he had a heart to please God, we see that it stirred up the devil. Amen. Because David had a heart to please the Lord, it stirred up the devil. I like the fact that David is compassionate. We could almost say that David is tender. He has a tender heart, but yet David is gritty and resilient. Amen. David, amen, even though he is compassionate and has a heart after God, he also, amen, had grit, and he also had strength and stamina and resilience. Amen. Praise God. So he was able to drive the devil that he stirred up by his heart's obedience. He was able to drive the devil out. See, if you're going to do something to stir him up, you better be able to drive him out. Amen. Are you hearing me? So David, even though he was tender-hearted, amen, or even though he was compassionate, he also had grit again, and amen, a strength, praise God, that he was able to drive out the devil. See, David would use a harp, and then sometimes he would use a sword. Amen. We know that when the enemy would rise up, all David had to do was pick up his harp and begin to play, amen, worship unto the Lord, and the enemy would calm down and he would, amen, flee. There were times when the harp would not make the difference. So David knew that he needed to pick up a sword, amen, and needed to fight in that capacity. See, it also makes a difference when you know the weapons that God gives you and how to use them. Sometimes your praise and worship will get you through it, but other times you gotta stand and you gotta fight like you know who your God is. Can I get about three people who know him today to give him a hand clap of worship right there? Hallelujah. Sometimes a harp, sometimes a sword, amen, but in the end, victory belongs to the Lord. We may preach that sometime. Hallelujah. So David reveals his heart to love God. We see, amen, that David reveals from his heart the desire that he has to love God. Amen. But above all things, amen, he desires to love the Lord. Amen. And this keeps him humble even when he became anointed to sit in a place of power and authority. Hallelujah. David still, his love for God kept him humble. And we can see the hand of God over David's life despite his sordid beginning. We know according to history, we preached before, amen, and looking at the, amen, the historical genealogy, amen, that David was most likely conceived, amen, in sin. This is why David was outside the house of his father. This is why David was the least likely, amen, for his father Jesse to, amen, believe that God would choose him to anoint him to be king. It was his earthly father's last choice. But how many knows today that it doesn't matter where you start, but it matters where you finish? Come on. Hallelujah. David, even though he had that sordid beginning, we see the hand of God over his life. See, faith based on David's beginning, based on David's birth, based on David's, amen, the way David was treated by his family. Hallelujah. Fate would decide, amen, that he would like, amen, live in a state of rejection and loneliness. Because he was rejected by his family. He was looked down upon as as the least. Amen. So faith would say, well, he's going to live in rejection and loneliness. Hallelujah. Always seeking for somebody's validation or needing somebody's approval. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but you don't need validated by anything or anyone. Hallelujah. The same God that hung the stars in the sky is the same God that destined you, amen, to live in the fullness of his covenant blessing. Amen. So faith would say that David would always have to be trying to get somebody's approval, always trying to get that validation that he was important enough, that he was good enough, that he was needed, that he was wanted. But listen, God's grace and mercy revealed to David the destiny of God over his life. Because when David was content being a man, the outcast and the leftover, a man staying out of the field, tending to the sheep, hallelujah, God showed up, a man out of response to David's heart and to David's worship and to David's diligence. God showed up and showed David, hallelujah, that I have chosen you, I have anointed you. David had no idea from him was going to come, amen, the beloved Messiah. He had no idea that he was going to establish the throne of God that would be set forever and ever. Hallelujah. The grace and mercy revealed it to him. David's deliberate response to grace is shown by his dependence on God. Now, we understand David was not perfect. David had flaws and David had, amen, faults. Hallelujah. But his deliberate response to the grace of God is shown by his dependence on God. Even despite his ordained position of power and authority, his deliberate response to the grace of God, this kept him grounded.
Come on now.
Hallelujah. Stay with me. I'm laying a foundation here. Mm-hmm. How many knows that we can know much about a person by how they talk?
True.
Two people understand that. Listen. All you have to do is listen to somebody talk.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take long to learn or to understand much about that person, whether it might be their personality or even what they have went through or even what they experienced or how they feel, amen, praise God, about themselves. You see, we can know much about David just by how he talked. He said in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who do I need to fear? He is the strength of my life. Who do I need to be afraid of?" You said, what does this tell us about David? Well, this tells me that David knew what it was to live in a dark season, because he understood the light. You don't understand the light until you've experienced the darkness. I need somebody to help me. David said, "The Lord is my light." So that tells me that David experienced dark times, even though his heart was fixed on pleasing God. Even though David's heart was settled to please the Lord. Hallelujah. He went through some dark times. Hallelujah. He is the strength of my life. Who do I need to be afraid of? This tells me that David knew what it was to have to fight a battle. David knew what it was to have to stand in the presence of his enemies. David knew what it was to know that this battle is not mine. Oh, come on, way past, amen, the battle with Goliath. Hallelujah, but David understood. Amen, we see that David knew what it was like, hallelujah, to have to stand and fight. And that he goes on down a little further in the same chapter, and he said, when my mother and my father forsake me, it is the Lord who cares for me. See, David knew what rejection was like. David knew what having family issues was about. David knew how it was when the family couldn't all gather together and sit at the table, envy and strife. David understood that, but he said, when my own mother and father have forsaken me, it is the Lord who will take care of me. And then verse 13, one that probably gets me the most excited in this season that I'm in. David said, I would have fainted unless I had believed I'd see the goodness of God in the land of the living. So you know what, Sister Tammy? That tells me David had weak moments. David had times when he felt like, God, where are you? He had moments when he felt like God had forsaken him. He had those moments when if just one more thing would happen, he was going to snap and break. If just one more thing would show up to come against him, he just might not make it. But he said, I would have fainted had I not believed that I was going to see the goodness of God. David understood, don't be weary in well-doing. Because your season is coming. Your harvest will happen if you faint not. Come on, somebody. Maybe nobody but me has ever been to that breaking point. You show up, you put up, hands up, hallelujah, head up, shoulders back, do everything, follow the mold, follow the instructions, keep it all together like you're supposed to, but you have that moment when you just feel like at any time you're going to break apart, when at any time you're just going to lose it. But David said, had I not believed that God would take all things and work them for my good, I would have lost it. But I didn't, because the Lord is my shepherd. Woo! Hallelujah. Hang with me. Tells us that David had moments of weakness when nobody was watching, when it was just him and God, when he was forced to hide in a cave, when he had a moment where I'm just gonna use my position to show. But instead, he decided that he was better off being still, knowing. I don't know who he's talking to this morning. I feel that. I just felt that unction in my belly. Be still. Be still. Don't make a decision. Don't you dare make a decision that's going to affect your life and everyone in your life, that's going to have major devastating effects on you, your life, and those around you based on what you feel. Come on. Even based on what you see. No peace, no move. Come on, will you hear me? David decided it was best to be still and know that he is God.
Come on now.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you see, David told us that we need to pray.
See. Number one.
David taught us how important it is to praise.
Yeah.
David told us that we need to wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
It was David that said, wait, I say, wait on the Lord. David taught us to trust in God's word. So we can look at David's writings, and there's so much more that we can elaborate on. But here in Psalm 23, we see the heart of the shepherd. Because you see, David was a shepherd. That's what he was when the Lord came to him. Are you hearing me? Psalm 23, we see the heart of the shepherd. See, there's a lot of interesting things we can understand about sheep. And we can know about sheep, and we've talked about sheep plenty of times, amen. But sheep have to be watched. Sheep had to be fed. See, sheep were herbivores. They're herbivores, not carnivores. And so their teeth are really small. And they have to be fed. So they don't fight for prey. And sheep become easily agitated in unfamiliar tight spaces. We are hard pressed on every side. See, they get easily agitated when they get into a very tight, unfamiliar space, one that they don't know how to navigate. Am I talking to you? I'm talking about sheep, not about you. Us, not about us, not about sheep. Just so you know. For those of you that may not get it now. So they don't have to fight for prey, so they're not the best at defending themselves. Sheep aren't real good at defending themselves. And sheep have small brains. I know you think you know what I'm going to say. You think I'm going to say that sheep are dumb, which compared to others with bigger brains, they are seen that way. But I like to look at it like this, see. They have smaller brains, so they have limited thinking capacity. My thoughts are not his thoughts. My ways are not his ways. This carnal mind of mine can only conceive so much. And then I get all discombobulated and all agitated and all irritated. And I get all anxious and I get all worried and concerned. But I have to understand that I've got one watching over me whose ways cannot be counted. Somebody better help me in this house. It's not that we're dumb. It's that we're only created to think so far. And then when we've reached our limit, that's when we learn to let go and let God. Oh, somebody help me. We don't like it when we get pushed into unfamiliar places, when we get squeezed and we feel the pressure. We can become agitated very quickly. So sheep's brains are limited in their thinking capacity. But because of that, sheep have the tendency to get themselves into situations that can be potentially dangerous. Because they think they know what's over there. They think they know. That's got to be better than what's here. They might see one blade of grass or one small patch of green grass over on that side, but once they get over there, they'll realize it's surrounded by nothing but dead, dried up straw. And so now they get themselves, because they have no clue where they, listen, help me, how many times have you said that do we get ourselves in stupid places? Now I'm going to say stupid and dumb. How many times do we get ourselves in predicaments, and then we step back and say, well, I just don't know how this happened. How in the world did I get here? You went there. That's what happened. You went there. You did it. You made it. Come on. Hallelujah. But aren't you thankful for the grace of God? And even though David had a heart for God and he loved the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Grace said you don't have to stay there. But if you get up and you make it right, I'll continue to bless you.
Well, now,
say, man, how'd they get here? Yeah. And that sheep didn't pay attention to where he was going and just went after that little patch of grass. And that grass is gone, and now there's nothing but death surrounding. He's like, how do I get back?
Uh-huh. Come on.
Come on. Yeah. That's why the Bible says that the good shepherd will leave all the other sheep and go for the one that went their own way. Come on, somebody. That their simple mind can see that it was best, but when they got there, realized they don't know a thing. Come on, are you hearing me? I'm going somewhere. Praise God. I'm going somewhere. They wander into places they have no business going. They stick their nose in things they have no business sticking their nose in. If you can't scroll, turn it off. Come on. Come on now. A sheep will trust a snake and then get bit by it. Well, they wouldn't do that to me. They get a little closer. Get a little closer. And that snake is.
No way.
Come on. They get a little closer. Get a little closer. And then when the time is right, they're bit. Now they need a healing. Now, if they don't get the attention of the shepherd quickly, they might die. Are you hearing me? We've all trusted people and got bit by them. See, sheep had little discernment, so they can become very oblivious to a wolf that's hanging out nearby. That's why the Bible, Jesus said that there will be false prophets and those in these at the end of times that will come, wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. Because then they settle down, they look like a sheep and bah, like a sheep and act like a sheep and let themselves be, amen, just enough. And then it's revealed. And if not for the grace of God, the wolf will destroy or devour the sheep. So they have little discernment. Something else we know about sheep is they tend to sing. Help me, Jesus. And they will drink from places they shouldn't.
Come on now.
They will drink anything from anywhere. This is why they need the shepherd to lead them to clean water. To say, nope, don't drink from that. It's dirty. It's infected. Because if it's wet, they'll drink it. Now remember, I'm talking about sheep, not us. They'll take drinks of things that they shouldn't. See, David smelled like sheep. When he came into the presence of the Lord, come on, somebody. He smelled like sheep. He had to have sheep dung. His feet had to be dirty. Who knows if he bathed? Who knows how much he smelled? But can I tell you, when he got into the presence of Samuel, which represented the holiness of the Lord, the stink didn't matter. The dirt didn't matter. Samuel didn't say, David, brother, you need to go take a shower before I pour this oil on you. Come on, somebody. See, I'm trying to convince you that you were called from your mother's womb. When you were already dirty, he saw your worth. He chose you. He anointed you when you were already in your sin. So you don't have to clean it up before you come into his presence. When you come into his presence with a heart that is humble and repentant and bow before him, willing to be obedient, hallelujah, his anointing will reveal. Because everyone in this place has been anointed by God. Are you hearing me? So sheep simply had to be led. You can't do this on your own.
Come on, stop right now.
There's no man, no prophet, no apostle, no pastor, no bishop, no leader. There's no one that can lead you but the good shepherd. There's no special group of elite people who have been chosen by God to replace the good shepherd in your life. Come on, somebody, help me in this place. Hallelujah. They had to be led. Something interesting about sheep is sometimes sheep would wade into deeper waters. Risking being drowned. Because as they would wade into these waters with the current, as the water would soak into their wool, they would become heavy and it would weigh them down and they could not keep themselves above water. Remember, I'm talking about sheep and not us. And they would get caught in the current. Don't get caught in the current.
Come on now.
The current trend, the current status quo. Don't get caught in all the current that's happening. Come on, somebody. Sheep have shorter legs so they don't run well. So when they are attacked, if they can't run, they got to stand and take it. Come on. They don't run very well. Have you ever watched a sheep run? Amen? They don't run as well as other animals. Sheep have little eyes with very narrow vision. So We can say they have no insight and no oversight. So for all those that think they have the divine revelation into everybody's life, you're just a sheep. They're nothing more than a sheep, just like those they're trying to deceive. Come on, are you hearing me? Sheep can't bear much weight before they begin to collapse. That's why we got to lay aside every sin. We talked about it last week. It's a deliberate thing. You got to put off. You got to take off. We got to lay aside every sin and every weight that besets us, that weighs us down. Because if we don't, we're going to buckle under the load. But you see, we have a good shepherd who says he will bear our every load, that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. At the end of the day, he didn't say that you wouldn't go through some difficult times, but you will not have to buckle under the pressure, because if we're yoked up with him, hallelujah, he bears the most of the weight. We feel the pressure and we sense the weight, but he bears the brunt of that weight. So we don't have to buckle or faint. But here's what I think is beautiful about Psalm 23. All that David, being a shepherd, knew about sheep. All that he knew about sheep, David did not focus on the vulnerabilities of the sheep.
Okay. Help me now.
But he opened up a picture of the shepherd and the shepherd's heart. See, most of us would start out, sheep are the dumbest, stinkiest animals. And without a shepherd, they ain't going to make it. Am I right? You thought that's where I was going today. Because I pointed out. Now again, we're not talking about us. I'm talking about sheep. Because I pointed out the vulnerabilities of sheep. And they were created that way. They can't change it. They can't help it. We can't fault them because they're sheep. Don't you be judging and faulting someone else because they act just like you do, just on a different level. The flesh and the humanity side of them, come on, that sinful nature may come out more often, and it may show up, amen, at times when it don't show up to you, but we all got the same capacity to miss it and mess up. Somebody help me. But we all also got the same opportunity to yield ourselves unto the grace and the mercy of the love of the good shepherd. He doesn't take his rod and say, hey, dum-dum, what are you doing over there? Didn't I tell you not to go there, you dumb sheep? What if it ain't their first wandering? He ain't going to say, you again? Oh, hold on, guys. Everybody halt. I got to go after Bob again. Come on. He don't point it out to everybody else. Come on. Hallelujah. All they have to do is watch and see. Amen. David didn't start out, amen, pointing out the vulnerability of the sheep. But amen, he gave us the heart of the shepherd. And he began to say, the reason that I won't want anything is because of who he is, not because of him. The reason that I won't want is because he is the good shepherd. He is my shepherd. It's not because of who I am. I won't live feeling as if something is missing. I will live my life as if there is a constant void. Because he is my shepherd. And I won't live like I'm lacking or being deprived.
Come on now.
Come on, somebody. I won't live like there's not enough. I won't live like he is not sufficient. Because you see, regardless of who comes and regardless of who goes, he remains. Regardless of who quits, regardless of who stays, regardless of who shows up, and regardless of who ghosts us, hallelujah, he will always be present. I may not feel him with my feelings. I may not see him with my eyes. I would have fainted unless I had believed that I was going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Pastor, for any good length of time, you're going to learn. People come and they go. Things change. Things turn. Not a whole lot remains the same. Life changes. Cycles bring changes to people's lives. Regardless, the shepherd remains. David is telling us, I don't need man's doors because the shepherd is the door. I don't need man to open doors for me. I don't need man to give me opportunities because the sheep gate, the shepherd is the door. Amen. And he will open any door that to go through. If I am following him, and if there's a door that's open that I should not go through, the shepherd will close it so that I know that's not the way to go. Somebody better hear me in this place. But he knows that sometimes it takes time to really worship. Sometimes it just don't come with, thank you, Jesus. Sometimes it takes time to move into that understanding of who he is. See, because it may not always come right away. You may not always get that epiphany. The light may not always come on as quickly at times as it does others. But when it does, you get that revelation, the Lord is. Not might be, not will be, not maybe. But he is my shepherd. He might be my shepherd. Come, are you hearing me? He will be. I know he will be eventually. But you get that revelation that he is. You get that understanding that I'm protected. And I'm cared for by the shepherd. Can I tell you that he only cares for those he cares about? He only cares for those he cares about. If he didn't care about you, he wouldn't care for you. You might get that in 2 weeks. See, that's where you got to quit placing your value on other people's thoughts and opinions, yours included. You gotta quit placing your worth and your position on your brain is created to be finite. It's created to be simple. Come on. She made dumb. They just only have so much brain to think with. And then when it's filled up, that's what I tell people all the time. When I forget stuff, I'm like, it's not that I'm forgetful, I'm old. It's just there's so much in my brain after all these years that it, one of my coworkers, she doesn't speak English very well. But, you know, when I bend over, bend down, there's noise. And everyone doesn't hear the noise my body makes, but they hear the noise I make because of the noise my body makes. And the first time I did it, she went, okay. Took my hat off. Now every time I've been down, especially I have to squat and then try to get back up, it's, oh! She's like, I am old. I'm like, I like you. You're my favorite coworker. I had somebody yesterday say, you're not old, you're seasoned. I said, I'll take that. I'll take that. Guess it all depends on what I'm seasoned with, but I'm seasoned, right? You're not alone.
That's the number one thing.
Look at your neighbor and say, you're not alone.
You're not alone.
You're not alone in this storm. You're not alone in this valley. You're not alone in this season. You're not alone in this moment. You're not alone in these circumstances. You are not alone. Because the Lord is your shepherd. See, he makes me lie down where there's provision.
Come on now.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. I'm that kind of person, just kind of my personality and my thinking that sometimes God has to make me to lie down where there's provision. How many times in our efforts and in our worry and our anxiety do we go searching for the provision when God's saying, if you'll just do it. Yeah. Sometimes he's got to make us rest. Because he is our provision. All this, that's why, well, listen, we have to understand we cannot place so much importance on man. Because man, come on, because man cannot lead us like the shepherd. All this celebrity garbage that goes on in the body of Christ and all of the hoopla and all of don't touch me and all you can't talk to me and all of this. I'm highly favored and anointed. I've been to the 15th heaven and I've touched God. I've seen the face of God and I... If you follow me and listen to me, I'll take you there. We cannot place so much importance on man, because let me tell you something. Every doctor needs a doctor. Every lawyer needs a lawyer. Every preacher needs a preacher. Every teacher needs a teacher. Every pastor needs a pastor. Because at the end of the day, we're all sheep. We're all sheep. But we're all to be led and cared for by the good shepherd. Because he is all sufficient. He is all sufficient. But the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. The Apostle Paul said, I've learned to be content. It don't come natural. I've learned to be content. I believe David learned to be content. That's why this whole comparison thing is an evil device of the enemy. Stop comparing yourself to someone else. Stop comparing your marriage to someone else's marriage. Stop comparing your children to someone else's children. Stop comparing your finances to someone else's finances. Stop comparing your church to someone else's church. Stop comparing your house to someone else's house. Stop comparing your wardrobe to someone else's wardrobe. Stop comparing your body to someone else's body. Stop comparing your blessing to someone else's blessing. Yeah. It's an evil device of the enemy. Yeah. But when you get anxious, it's that he will lead you to still waters where you can find rest, and there you wait. No worries about getting taken by the current. And the way, come on, are you hearing me? And the water being too deep, because the shepherd's not going to lead you, because he knows your potential. He knows your temptation, and he knows if he leads you to deep moving waters, you don't want to jump. He is not going to have you tempted above that which you're able to bear.
That's right.
He's not going to lead you to that, but he's going to lead you to shallow, still waters where you can drink, lay down, and rest. Drink, lay down, and rest. Because those rushing waters will soak the wool and get you sucked up right into that current. He restores muscle. What is your soul? It's your mind, will, and emotions.
Yeah.
So he restores your mind, your will, and your emotions. How many ever went to bed and slept but didn't rest? You wake up and it feels like you never even rested. You might go to sleep, and you might sleep for several hours, but you wake up feeling unrested. That's when your soul is exhausted. Now, there's things that come when you're seasoned. Sleep patterns change when you're seasoned. I didn't say old. When you're seasoned, you've had so many nights of sleep that your body's like, what are you doing? You don't need any more. You've had 60 years of that, dude. Wait, sit up, wake up. Okay. But I'm talking, you know what I'm talking about. When your mind and your will and your emotions are exhausted. And you lay down and sleep. Because it was David that said, I've laid down and slept, not knowing if I was going to wake up. But when I woke up, I knew the Lord had sustained me. Because he is my shepherd. See, he restores the weary soul. Can I tell you? That restoration happens from the inside out, not the outside in. I thought about it this morning as I was preparing this message about restoration. Rest is in restoration and in restoring. There's a rest that comes in restoration. And only the Lord can restore your soul. Man can't do it. Things can't do it. Come on, somebody. Medicine can't do it. Only God can restore a weary soul, and not a person. See, I don't need a hero. I got a shepherd. Come on, I don't need a hero. I got a shepherd. I don't need somebody to come save me, rescue me, and bring me happiness and bring me joy. I have the shepherd. Are you hearing me? I don't know who needs to receive this today, but somebody does, because this was not in my spirit until this morning. He says, thy rod and my staff, they comfort me. What was the rod for? For fighting off enemies and danger. So I have comfort in knowing that the shepherd is fighting off enemies on my behalf. Ones that I don't even know are enemies. Are you hearing me? That staff had that hook, right? We all know. And sometimes we get stuck in stuff. But he can take the hook on that staff and put it around our neck and gently pull us out. Are you hearing me? Gently pull me out and quiet me. See, it's God that's got the hookup. Not somebody else, but it's God. And that he takes and pulls me and loves me enough. I have that reassurance with the shepherd. He said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God blesses me while my enemies watch. I sit at the table and I dine under his blessing and provision while my enemies watch. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, can I tell you we all live under the shadow of death? Every day. Every day. Death is impending, right? We all live under the shadow of death. And I've preached it before, but just a reminder. But it's just a shadow. Because why is there a shadow? Because there's light. What causes a shadow when something stands in between you and the light? So on the other side of the shadow is light. Why would I be afraid of the shadow? Because it's just the enemy trying to block the light of God. It's just standing between you and the light. So we all live under the shadow. But he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Come on, talk right now.
That stands between you and the enemy. Are you hearing me? So you don't have to walk around and fear death. Fear dying. Let the enemy tell you, well, because your dad had it, it's hanging over you. Because your mom had it, it's hanging over you. We all live under that shadow. But we have to know that there's light on the other side of that shadow. My head is anointed with oil. Why? Because of the overflowing cup. He anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows. And goodness and grace will pursue me. I don't have to pursue goodness and grace. That's what some of you come in here doing today. You're pursuing the goodness of God. You're pursuing the grace. You're pursuing if it's enough. You pursue whether you're worthy enough. You pursue whether it's right. You pursue whether it's good enough. You pursue whether what you're doing is enough. When he said, when you are led by the shepherd, that goodness and mercy pursue you. It'll find you.
Come on now.
It'll find you because you will dwell in the household of God all the days that you live on this earth. All of those days. I can't do any of this on my own. None. So when you see me standing, it ain't me. When you see me up here preaching on Sunday morning, it's not because of me. When you see me pressing in and pushing and trusting and waiting, it's not me. Because when you see me, all you get is a sheep. But see, when you see me, that's not what you get. When you see me as a sheep who follows the shepherd, you don't get me, you get the shepherd. You get the one who is leading me, the one who is providing for me, the one who has given me the provision that is sustaining me. So when you see me, you're not getting me, you're getting the shepherd. Because he is my provision. The good shepherd. The good shepherd. The shepherd doesn't stand and point out to the sheep how unequipped they are. He knows their limits. He knows their potential. He has seen what their knowledge and all can do. And this is why he leads them in the way that he does. So they don't have to live like they're lacking. They don't have to live and say, I'm missing something in my life. Are you hearing me today? As they get ready to come to the music. If you hadn't picked up between the worship and the message, the last song we sang is titled Psalm 23. The second song we sang is about the goodness of God running after me, pursuing me all the days of my life. As you stand across this place, when you see me, that's not what you get, because I'm just say more I wanted to say, but I don't know who's in here this morning who's feeling the weight upon you like you're about to buckle. I can't tell you how many times in these last 2 years in this season that I've went in my secret place before the Lord and I've said, God, I don't know how much longer I can do this. And I've said, God, you know I don't want to do this. God, I don't like how I feel. I don't like what I see. But I was young. Now I'm seasoned. And I've never seen you forsake your people. You promised me see me. I know you know me. And I believe you hear me. So I'm going to trust you. No matter how it feels, the weight that you're feeling this morning, I get it. You would have fainted yesterday, yet there's something inside of you still holding on to hope, saying, I'm believing to see the goodness of the Lord come out of this situation. I'm believing to see the goodness of the Lord, and I'm going to dwell in the land of the living. It's not always going to be this way. We call it as Bible, but it's not Bible. But this too shall pass. That's not scripture, but the past. Good shepherd. If I'm going to fall, if I'm going to buckle, I need it to be at your feet. I need it to be in your presence. Maybe you're here today and you got yourself stuck. You feel like you're in stuff that you can't get out. Maybe you're here today and you realize that what you thought was a good plan, what you thought was the right decision, may not be. Maybe you're in here, your mind, your will, your emotions are exhausted. You sleep, but you don't rest. But he said, he would restore your mind, will, and emotions. I feel that in the Holy Ghost today. So as they get ready to worship, if you're in here today, first of all, if you're not saved,